Hello everyone and welcome to Moorgate Talks. It's really wonderful you've been able to join us today. If we haven't met, my name is Julia and I'm the women's worker with Moorgate Talks. So today we've got Brian speaking on why should we bother with the letter to the Romans, and then after that we'll have time for Q&A, so do be thinking of your questions as he's speaking. Just a couple of notices to bring to your attention. We've got, in 2 weeks today, we've got the cop who became a crook, lunch with Simon Pinchback. He was a cop, and then he became a crook, and then he became a Christian, as you can tell by the title of the talk. So it should be really interesting to see how God transformed his life. Do be thinking about who you can invite. It should be even more accessible than our normal lunchtime events. So it'd be great to have a big crowd here. And then also just a note, number 4 on the sheets for your diaries, maybe have a think if city weekend away or summer school would be a good opportunity just to get out of the city, have a break, get to know each other, spend time listening to what God's telling us in the Bible. Could be really fun. So we're going to read Romans now. I'll read the passage and then pray for us before Brian speaks. So it's on page 547 in the Bibles, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. So Paul writes to the Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also, who are in Rome. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you so much for this part of the letter to the Romans that you've kept for us to read today. We pray that you'd help us to be humble. Pray that we'd be ready to listen, and that you give us supernatural help to understand and accept what we could never do by ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Julia. It's great to see everyone. I think you all know me. It's lovely to see you all. And today, we will be looking at the question, why should we bother reading Paul's letter to the Romans? Why should we bother reading Paul's letter to the Romans? You see the outline for the talk on your handouts. Some of us may be thinking, Brian, I've read Romans lots of times before. Why should I read it again? Others of us might be thinking, I've got so much else on my mind at the moment. You know, cost of living crisis, family issues, work deadlines. Why should I invest time to study Romans? Well, friends, Paul's letter to the Romans has made such an impact. It has transformed countless lives around the world down the ages. For example, the Protestant reformer Martin Luther was converted by reading the letter to the Romans. And the Methodist preacher John Wesley had his heart transformed when he read Luther's introduction to the book of Romans. And not only that, but thousands of missionaries have taken the gospel to foreign lands as a result of reading the book of Romans. And so God has used this letter of the Romans to cause the gospel to bear fruit in lots and lots of different people's lives. And even billions of people now profess to be believers in Jesus Christ, including our late Queen. And so I hope you can see that understanding why we should read the book of Romans is an important question, because reading it could potentially transform our lives. It is a game-changing letter. So let's have a look at the reasons why Paul wants us to read Romans. He gives us three reasons. Let's turn to reason one. Paul wants to affirm our faith. Let me read verse 8 for us again. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So Paul wants to affirm the faith of the Romans, to assure them that they really are Christians. He thanks God here that they are really, they're truly trusting in the gospel, that they are real Christians. And I think Paul would say the same to us here today at the Moorgate Talks. We are a gathering of people who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now, of course, if you are looking into Christian things, you'd be very welcome amongst us. I'm so glad you could join us today, and I do hope you'll come back in future weeks. But it is fair to say that most of us are believers in the gospel. We would call ourselves Christians. And so Paul thanks God for us, because our faith is known in all the world. And in fact, there was a recent newspaper article in America that talked about us and our faith in Jesus Christ. In summary, Paul wants us to read the book of Romans so that our faith can be affirmed. But that isn't just it. Paul doesn't just want to affirm our faith. He goes further than that. He gives us a second reason why we should read Romans. And this reason is that he wants to strengthen us with the gospel. That's our second point. He wants to strengthen us with the gospel. Let me read verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So what Paul is saying here is that he longs to strengthen the Romans with his gift. And I think this gift is talking about his preaching of the gospel. He is an apostle, and his gift is to preach the gospel to the nations. So in other words, Paul really wants to preach the gospel to the Romans so that they may be strengthened by it. And of course, he's already started doing this in the letter to the Romans. Remember last week when he gave a summary of the gospel? Jesus Christ is King. He's our Lord. By doing that, he's already started to strengthen the Romans' convictions that Jesus Christ really is Lord. But not only that, but also at the end of the letter, Paul talks about this idea of strengthening the Romans with the gospel. In chapter 16, verse 25, he says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." And so the fact that Paul both begins and ends his letter with this idea of strengthening the Romans with the gospel suggests that this really is his aim for the letter. He wants to strengthen the Romans with the gospel. But Paul doesn't just want this to be a one-way thing. In verse 12, he says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So this mutual encouragement means that Paul wants to strengthen them, and Paul wants the Romans to encourage him as well. It's a two-way process. And now Paul isn't able to visit the Romans yet, so he can't actually encourage them and strengthen them in person right at this moment, because he needs to attend to some other business. He needs to go to Jerusalem first before he can come to Rome. So he can't strengthen them in person, and that is why he's writing them this letter. He wants to tell them what the gospel is in this letter, to strengthen them with this letter. And so his aim is for the Romans to read his letter and to be strengthened by the gospel. Now, if Paul were alive today, he would want us to do the same. He would want us to read his letter and to be strengthened by the gospel. He expects his readers to grow in their convictions that Jesus Christ really is Lord, and to become more confident in Jesus' death and resurrection. And so what this means for us is that we should keep reading the letter to the Romans, because it will strengthen our faith. It will grow our confidence in the gospel. So do come back next week to hear more from this letter. And over the course of the year, we'll be unpacking more of Paul's letter to the Romans, and we can look forward to being strengthened more and more by the gospel. So back to our big question: why does Paul want us to read Romans? Well, because he wants us to be strengthened by the gospel as we read it. So the gospel isn't just for us to become Christians. Of course it does. You know, we hear about Jesus Christ and we believe in him and we become Christians through the gospel. But the gospel is also for Christians to grow in their faith as well. Paul expects them to be strengthened by the gospel. And to use an illustration, the COVID booster jab is a good one. Most of us would have had our first jab, but then after 6 months, we needed a booster jab to strengthen the effects of the jab. And it's a similar thing with the gospel. It's not just a one-off thing, but you have to keep coming back to it to keep being strengthened by it, so that the gospel can continue to have an impact, to make an impact on our lives. And so as we read through Paul's words in Romans, let's be praying for God's help, that we would be strengthened by his words, and to grow in our convictions, to become more confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul has told us that he wants a mutual encouragement. It's not just a one-way thing. He wants to encourage the Romans with the gospel, and he also wants the Romans to encourage him as well. And of course, for us here, we can't encourage Paul because he's no longer around. He's with the Lord. But then what we can do is to encourage each other, can't we? And there are so many ways to do this. We can come to these lunchtime talks and we can encourage each other to keep trusting in the gospel. I know that some of us work in the same firms, and so when we go back to our firms, like Slaughter's or the Bank of England or Rathbones, we can meet up with other Christians and encourage each other to keep trusting in Jesus. And also we have Bible studies at St. Botolph's. They're called Thirsty for God, and they're a great way to meet up with other Christians and to encourage each other in the gospel. And more informally, we can just find a Christian friend, meet up for a coffee or for a drink after work, and just share what we've been struck by from God's word recently. And in that way, we can also encourage each other in the gospel. These are just a few examples of mutual encouragement. I'm sure that you'll be able to think of others as well. I think it's a great thing to be encouraging each other, both as a group and in one-to-one settings. For me, I have personally benefited hugely from being part of a small group Bible study, and I would really encourage you to join one if you aren't in one already. It's a great way to encourage each other in the gospel. And there are some flyers for Thirsty for God on your tables, which are the small group Bible studies that we run over at St. Botolph's. And there are Moorgate people who are part of that group, which you'd be very welcome to. And Alfie is one of the leaders. Julia and I also help to lead some of the groups. So you'd be very welcome to ask us more about that. So we've seen Paul's two reasons to read Romans. Number one, he wants to affirm our faith. Number two, he wants to strengthen us in the gospel. But he doesn't end there. He gives us a third reason why we should read the book of Romans. Let me read verse 13. He says, "I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. And so the third reason that Paul gives is this. Paul wants to reap a harvest among the Romans. Well, that's our third point. But what does he actually mean? Is, you know, reaping a harvest, what does that actually refer to? Well, I think it definitely includes gospel growth within the church. In other words, he wants the Romans to be increasingly transformed by the gospel, to grow in maturity, to increasingly live lives of worship in response to the gospel, to love one another, to use their gifts to serve the church. These are some of the things that he mentions in Romans chapters 12 to 16. But I think there's more to it than just that, because Paul uses the word harvest here, and the word harvest is ripe with meaning in the Bible. They just think, you know, Matthew 9:38, the harvest is ripe. I think there's a reason why Paul uses this word harvest. And I think in order to unpack what this means, we need to just spend a moment considering Paul's context. We know from Romans chapter 15 that Paul is now done with church planting in the eastern Mediterranean. He's preached the gospel, he's planted lots of churches in the eastern half of the Med, and his sights have now turned to the western half of the Mediterranean, where he has not previously preached the gospel. And in fact, we know from Romans 15 that Paul's plan is to take the gospel to Spain. And he wants the Romans to support him on his way there. Because of Rome's central location in the Mediterranean, it is an ideal staging post for Paul's mission trip to Spain. And so what does Paul mean by reaping a harvest among the Romans? Well, I think what he means is that he wants the Romans to financially support his mission trip to Spain, because by doing so, that will enable Spanish people to hear the gospel through Paul's proclamation and to believe in it. And in that way, there'll be a harvest, because people will be brought into God's kingdom, they'll be brought from death to life through the Roman support of Paul's mission trip to Spain. So in that way, there's a harvest of people who have become Christians. And I think the fact that Paul in chapter 1, verse 14, talks about his obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians supports this idea, because the gospel has already been preached to the Greeks. The Greeks is referring to the Greek-speaking eastern half of the Med, and the barbarians, I think, is referring to the western half of the Mediterranean, where they have not heard the gospel. And so Paul is saying, I am obliged to preach the gospel to both the Easterners, the Greek speakers, and to the Westerners, barbarians. And so I think that Paul here is referring to something bigger than just gospel maturity, gospel obedience, when he talks about reaping a harvest. He wants the Romans to be gospel harvesters, to provide the seed capital for a rich harvest of new believers in Spain. And I think that's really exciting, isn't it? Imagine if you were a friend of Steve Jobs when he co-founded Apple back in 1976. He was your friend and he said, look, Jeff, Tom, Eloise, I want you guys to support me, to give me some money, buy some shares so that I can set up this company. And then you said, yeah, of course, you're my friend. I'm going to support you. I'm going to buy some shares for a little bit of money. And then fast forward 46 years to today, well, you'd be reaping a massive harvest, wouldn't you? Apple is now worth around $63 billion. You'd be reaping a massive harvest. And in the same way, I think what Paul says reaping a harvest, I think that's his idea. Obviously, the harvest isn't a monetary one, but it is a harvest of people brought from death to life through his proclamation of the gospel. And so Paul wrote Romans to reap a harvest among them. i.e., in other words, he wanted them to grow in gospel maturity, yes, but also to back his mission trip to Spain to enable lots of people to hear and to believe in the gospel. And guess what? I think Paul wants the same for us. Paul wants us to grow in confidence of in the gospel, to grow in obedience to it, to become more mature Christians. And at the same time, he also wants us to support worldwide gospel proclamation so that more people can hear the gospel and this harvest can be generated through the proclamation of the gospel. Now again, Paul isn't around any longer, so there's no mission trip to Spain anymore, but there are still many missionaries today that seek to take the gospel to people who have never heard it before. How exciting that we can provide, you know, a bit of seed funding so that together we can reap a harvest among the nations. If you are a Christian, why does Paul want us to read his letter to the Romans? Three reasons. One, Paul wants to affirm our faith. Two, Paul wants to strengthen us with the gospel. And three, Paul wants to reap a harvest among us. In fact, I don't think these three reasons are actually mutually exclusive. I think they're all linked. Reason one leads to reason two, that leads to reason three. So he wants to affirm them as they feel affirmed. He wants to strengthen them. And as they are strengthened, that will result in them reaping a harvest. That will result in them backing Paul financially in his mission trip to Spain. And Paul wants us also to be affirmed in our faith if we are believers, to be strengthened in our faith, and then to reap a harvest of others hearing and believing in the gospel. Now, if you are a Christian, do you want to reap a gospel harvest? Well, I trust the answer is yes. Well, know that the Apostle Paul wants the same for us too. So what does that mean for us? It means that we should read the letter of Romans. As we do so, we will be affirmed, we will be strengthened, and we will reap a harvest in the gospel. We will grow in our willingness to support the gospel, support the gospel being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. So as I mentioned at the start, some of us may be thinking, Brian, I've read Romans many times before. What's the point of reading it again? Well, I think all of us are works in progress, aren't we? There's always going to be room for growth. And Paul's expectation is that his preaching of the gospel in Romans will affirm and strengthen us and will help us to reap more and more of a harvest. And so, I think this makes it worthwhile for all of us to work hard at understanding Romans. And if Paul is right, then our efforts will not be wasted. We will, this will bear fruit. As we read and understand it and are changed by it, God will generate a harvest in us. And so let's pray that God would really grip us with the gospel as we read Romans, so that we might reap an abundant harvest in the years to come. Now, for those of us who wouldn't call ourselves followers of Jesus, well, I hope you found today's session helpful. I hope you have a better understanding of why Paul wants us to read his letter. I hope you can see that it really is life-changing. And I hope it's whetted your appetite for more as well. Friends, Paul's letter to the Romans has transformed billions of people. It has reaped an abundant harvest as billions of people around the world profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. We can see this fruitful harvest, just as we look at the worldwide church. You know, there are Christians in every country, the church is continuing to grow, so this gospel is continuing to bear fruit. So this really proves Paul's point. And even our late queen was a believer in Jesus Christ, and she was not ashamed of the gospel, which is really encouraging. And who knows, as you read the gospel, you may well be gripped by it, and you may well end up being transformed by it as well. So please do come back next week to hear more from Paul's letter to the Romans. Thank you very much. Oh, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Paul's letter to the Romans. Thank you for how impactful it has been in history. Thank you that it really has generated a harvest all over the world, and that so many people have heard and believed in the gospel. And Father, we pray you would work in us as well as we read Romans. Please strengthen our faith in Jesus. Please help us to be really fruitful, that we would want to see the gospel proclaimed to people all over the world, so that they too might share in the salvation that we enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Great question. Just to repeat it, there's so many things on our minds at the moment. How do we keep the gospel at the front of our minds? I think there are different ways to do that. So, reading the Bible every morning is one way I found really helpful. It just reminds me of the gospel, and it sets me up for the rest of the day. Throughout the day I can sort of come back to what I learnt in the mornings. When I'm at lunchtime, I can just think, oh, okay, what did I do this morning? And then, I think that's one way, personal quiet times. And then also, I think meeting up with other Christians as well is a great thing to do. So coming to these lunchtime talks, joining a small group Bible study, joining a Christian network at your workplace. Yeah, these are all really great ways to mutually encourage each other, to keep our eyes on the gospel. So the question is, which do we think the church is better at? Is it reading or memorizing the Bible? I definitely think we're better at reading it. Certainly for myself, I spend much more time reading the Bible than I do memorizing it. I suppose maybe that's the case for most of us. I don't know.
I only think I have one or two friends who's regularly memorize scripture. Yeah. It's always something that I'd like to do, but never quite managed to.
So I think it's definitely something we can work on. I know a friend who set up to memorize Romans, and he made good progress in doing that, which is very impressive. Yeah, and I think it's very useful to so that when you're talking to friends, you can just quote them a bit of scripture, and it's very very helpful to do that. Yeah. Yes. Living lives of worship, loving one another, submitting to the governing authorities, using your gifts to serve the church. These are all ways in which they can be fruitful. But also, I think. It also means backing Paul's mission trip to Spain so that more people can become Christians. Yeah, so I think it's both growing in maturity, but also backing the proclamation of the gospel to others. Yeah, don't know what to do that. So the question is, how does Romans actually affirm our faith, strengthen our faith, and cause us to reap a harvest? For example, in Romans 1-4, it talks about how we're saved by faith, not by works. And so I think that affirms that the Romans have done the right thing in putting their trust in the gospel and not seeking it by works. And then in terms of strengthening, I think the gospel strengthens their faith in Jesus, because it tells them that it is through Jesus they've already died to sin. So chapters 5-8, they're dead to sin, alive to God in Jesus Christ, and therefore they are no longer subject to sin. They can live lives that please God. So I think that way they can be strengthened, You know, they no longer are slaves to sin. They've been set free and they can live lives of righteousness. And then, yeah, bearing fruit, like harvest language, I think, yeah, by backing Paul in chapter 15, they can cause others to hear the gospel and be saved. Yeah. Yeah, do come back next week to hear more.